What is up, guys? J'espère que vous allez bien, que vous êtes en pleine forme. Bienvenue sur le podcast Conversation Awesome avec Carmackin. A place where we speak Franglish, say the word awesome a lot, mais surtout un endroit d'inspiration et d'éducation pour vous aider à optimiser votre santé globale from the inside out. Mon nom est Claudia, fondatrice de Carmackin, et ma mission avec ce podcast est de t'amener dans un monde de développement personnel, d'optimisation d'habitudes de vie et de découverte so you can unleash your potential and live the life you truly want and deserve. Merci d'être à l'écoute. You're awesome. All right, bienvenue dans cette nouvelle conversation awesome avec Carmackin. Aujourd'hui, j'ai super hâte de te faire découvrir mon invité spécial, Alejandra, ou Alex pour les intimes. Alex qui est originaire du Mexique, ça fait plusieurs années qu'elle habite au Canada, et on se connaît par l'entremise de mon mastermind. Yep, there's a lot of freaking amazing people in my mastermind, in case you haven't noticed yet. On se connaît aussi grâce à l'Animal Flow. Ça faisait longtemps que je suivais Alex sur les réseaux sociaux, puis je trouvais ça tellement impressionnant comment elle bougeait. Puis d'ailleurs, elle est reconnue comme le top 74 des Regional Leaders dans le monde en Animal Flow. Donc, j'ai suivi des cours avec elle et ça m'a permis de découvrir une autre discipline sportive que je connaissais pas du tout. Et ça m'a permis de bouger autrement aussi quand les gyms étaient fermés. Donc, c'est quelque chose que j'ai beaucoup apprécié et beaucoup appris d'elle. Mais aujourd'hui, pour la conversation awesome, we're gonna deep dive into her new book. Parce que oui, Alejandra est aussi un award-winning author et elle a sorti son premier livre, Energy in Motion, l'année passée, que j'ai déjà lu plusieurs fois. Alors aujourd'hui, on va parler des concepts fascinants dans son livre pour t'aider à step into your subconscious mind, avoir des prises de conscience, apprendre à utiliser tes émotions au quotidien de la bonne façon, te poser des meilleures questions, prendre conscience du vocabulaire et des mots que tu utilises et juste commencer à avoir un journey in your mind, dans ton conscient, dans ton subconscient, pour te permettre d'être juste plus épanoui, plus présente, plus toi-même au quotidien. Le mind d'Alex me impresse à chaque fois qu'on a des conversations, donc je suis vraiment reconnaissante qu'elle a accepté d'avoir cette conversation-là avec vous aujourd'hui. Je vous recommande fortement de vous procurer son livre « Energy in Motion ». On va en reparler pendant le podcast et je vais mettre le lien dans la description du podcast pour vous le procurer. Take some notes, guys. Have an open mind. On voulait faire la conversation en espagnol, mais là, on s'est dit que, bon, déjà que mon podcast est en franglish, we were gonna stick to English for today. So, enjoy that awesome conversation. Welcome, Alex, to this awesome conversation with Carmackin. I'm super excited to have you on board today for a great conversation about your fabulous book. Thank you for being here.
It is my pleasure. I am very excited. Thank you, Claudia, for having me, and to you, my listener, for listening as well.
Yeah, I wanted to introduce you in Spanish because this podcast is in Franglish, right? So French and English. So I was like, let's do a little joke with our listeners and just, you know, start speaking in Spanish because you're originally from Mexico.
Mexico City.
Yes, and we know each other through the mastermind, and you introduced me to Animal Flow, which has been a great practice, and which is also, I guess, a type of energy in motion, which is the title of your book. So let's start with just introducing why energy in motion, what was your purpose behind the book, and what kind of place it took in your personal and professional life.
Excellent. Well, it starts at the beginning. Energy in motion is life. Everything that is alive and what you and I are aware in our reality is in constant movement. So even if you are right now staring at the screen in the computer or at the microphone and you think it's not moving, that's an illusion because we are on planet Earth, which is constantly rotating right on its own axis and around the sun. And, you know, this whole universe that expands outside of you and I and everyone else in it. However, what is important about energy and motion, it's what it means to you, what it means to me, what it means to you, my listener. The definition is personal. To me, energy in motion is the energy of life. It expresses in my life in everything I do. So as you and I are recording, you know, this conversation, you can see there's a painting behind me. That painting is the result of energy and motion. Mm-hmm. I am here with you to talk about my book, the book on itself, it's energy and motion. And I often joke that it is an entity in and of itself.
Because right.
Once I created it, and in the cover, you can see there's that code of the Fibonacci sequence that expands is the code for motion and growth. And once right now that it's out there in the world, it seems like it has a life of its own and it's reaching certain people and it's creating certain conversations that are meant to be sparked.
Mm-hmm.
So energy in motion is the manifestation of life to me.
Right. So was that one of your main purpose with writing this book, sparking these awesome conversations and having people really ask themselves, what does energy and motion mean to them?
Yes, that, and I love that you mentioned purpose, because purpose and mission are two keywords that rule my life. I'm hyper aware of that. So when I think of purpose, I think of the purpose for myself for writing the book and the purpose for my audience, mm-hmm. and they are different. So let's start with the purpose for my audience, you, my reader, you, my listener. The purpose is for you to know what I know, because often in the past, people have approached me and they ask me, how are you so happy all the time? Or at least that's what it seems from the outside, right?
Yeah, I get that too.
Yeah, they see cohesion. They see integrity in the way I speak, in the way I behave, in what I eat. So they know there's something behind. And to them, it's a secret. They don't know why I am the way I am. They want
right.
to know. And you and I were discussing about, especially right now in the uprise for the need to grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally, to be at cost, to be in control of your life, of your own life, there are journeys of awakening, like mm-hmm. bursts of aha moments,
mm-hmm.
things that click and make sense. And all of a sudden people know why they have been behaving their erroneous way, or why they have, let's put it this way, the shitty lives they've had and they're ready to change. And then no one talks about the journey of integration.
Yes.
So what happens after you have this aha moment, this spiritual awakening of some sorts, like, oh my God, this is what I've been screwing up in relationships. And then there's a contrast. And in that contrast, there's the pain of having to give up certain relationships, certain people, or
certain habits even.
Exactly. Like scrolling too much on Instagram when, you know, and you take that away and there's this void.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know what to do with that void. So they end up reverting back to the old ways and perpetuating the shitty reality they no longer want. Even though they know what changed and what can change. Mm-hmm. There's like the void that gets filled with all stuff again. So purpose for writing the book for my audience was for them to know what I know, the strategies that I have used with myself and my clients to live a joyous, purposeful life, to enjoy life, because mm-hmm. compared to the infinity, we have very little time here. We have to honor that. You have to honor that. I have to honor that. And so the book is also meant to be a journey. So I don't tell you how to do it. I mm-hmm. wrote it with the intention of you having your own journey while you read it, so you can find your own answers. So that's what I want to give you, my listener, my mm-hmm. reader, you, Claudia, with this book.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would definitely recommend you guys to get the book, Energy in Motion. I'll put the links in the show notes for sure, but I've already read it twice and I went through it again to prep this interview. And every time you read, and it's a really, not a simple, but an easy read. But like you said, every time you read it is a different journey. Right?
Wow.
Because you are ready to get this aha moment on something or read one sentence differently, depending on where you're at in your own awakening and journey and all of that. So what we're going to do for this interview and this conversation, there's a few sentences, you know, parts of the book that I wrote down because they spoke to me a lot, either because I resonated with what I've been working on in my journey of, you know, spiritual and personal development. Also stuff that I use with my clients to help them, like we said, fill the void whenever they want to change habits, because I coach a lot on habits. Mm-hmm. And also concepts that triggered a bit of a, I haven't asked myself this question in a really long time. So I want to chat about these concepts in the book. There's so many of them, and I think they're just all fascinating. So let's start with the first one. The first question to me that created a bit of a, I haven't asked myself this question is, what are the certainties in my life that I take for granted? Because I thought you explained it so well. You know, we talk about gratitude all the time, not taking for granted our health or the fact that we live in a house, right? Or we have like shelter and food and clothes and all of that. But you explain it in such a powerful way that there's actually a lot more certainties, even outside of like material stuff, that we take for granted. So that's a question I'm still asking myself. So can you chat a bit about that?
Absolutely. Much like you in my own journey, I'm used to acknowledging certain certainties, to put it that way, like the income I have, the house, the food on the table. But when I wrote that chapter, I tend to be a very dissociated person, meaning I function outside my body. I don't necessarily feel intense emotions, and it's not good or bad. It simply is. That's how I tend to relate to the world. When I was writing that chapter, I have to step into my body, create a character, feel the impact of an event. So in doing that, I imagine if I was to wake up and not have my right leg from the knee down, how would my life change? Mm-hmm. So again, without any reason and without wronging myself for waking up and being that person, I imagine how would my day be different if I stepped out of bed, walked to the washroom, went downstairs, jumped in my car, and I did not have that piece of my body. And I saw a completely different reality. Right. In some ways, and in others, some things didn't change. Mm-hmm. So that opened up another conversation. What is really important in my life? Like, yes, I would miss that section of my body, my right leg, but on the other hand, it wouldn't stop me from being who I am because the leg doesn't define me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the inspiration behind writing the chapter. And even with this conversation, you might be getting more apart from what you got. And so I want to ask you, because you read it twice and you did the exercise, and this is also something that I'd like to ask the listener, what was the certainty that you observed as you were reading this chapter? What was the certainty?
Yeah, it went as well to my physical body and my health. Because I'm in that field, I coach on health, because I have so many great health habits, I take it for granted for sure. And learning about your example, stepping out of bed and like you're missing something on your body, but then realizing that my power does not, like you said, belong, quote unquote, belong to a certain body part, would probably make me miss a lot of my physical abilities, like figure skating, like training at the gym. But then I would be able to create, thanks to my mindset and my conscious mind and my psyche, the same mission and the same calling and the same purpose that I have in my life. So I also went into the physical body because, yeah, you take it for granted whenever you're in top shape and healthy. It kind of brought me to this conflict, I guess, in my head of, because I travel a lot and I see things in really, really poor countries. Some families live with less than like a dollar a day. They don't even have a house, right? It's just not even brick walls. It's like walls with wood. And you see the kids, they have two different shoes because that's all they can afford, or that's all that was given to them. So whenever I'm here and I'm not necessarily traveling or asking myself these questions and like comparing, then like it's so much more powerful, all of the certainties that you take for granted, even outside of your physical body. So I think I linked it back to a lot of gratitude, but more like deeply, right? Like more deeper than just, I'm grateful because I have food on the table, right?
Absolutely. And now I promised you that I was going to add value to whatever we chatted about, and adding value to the chapter of the book and stuff that it's not in the book, that's going to be a great value. So to add to that, the purpose of acknowledging a certainty is not just, oh, yes, very important, that feeling of gratefulness, thankfulness, blessing that you and I and you know, everybody can find within the reality. But after you acknowledge it, what can you do with it that you're not doing that you're meant to do? So, for example, for me, grounding that example with my physical body. So if I am in full faculty of using my two legs and I know I should be squatting in my workouts, well, let's make good use of those two legs.
Yeah.
Some really good squats on my workout tomorrow. That's a very basic example. So for example, if someone else is thankful that they do have the income that allows them to build savings, is there something else that they could do other than just savings? Investing, donating.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about acknowledging a certainty.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next step that you should be doing with that certainty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that because that's what I always say. You have the awareness at first. That's always like, there's the first step of any change. But then once you know this, once you're aware of this, what are you going to do with it? Right.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's perfect. Speaking of, you know, stepping into action, I do get the comments sometimes about my clients that like, oh, I feel stuck. And there's one sentence that you wrote in your book, I'll paraphrase it, but you're talking about our brain is stuck and we're not able to make any decision when we're pressing on the brake and on the accelerator at the same time. So what does that mean? And how do you have a specific example with, let's talk about health and fitness and nutrition, because a lot of my listeners, obviously, that's what we both coach on. So our brain is stuck and we're not really able to make a decision whenever we press on both pedals at the same time.
Absolutely. Well, the interesting thing about this concept is that we have our genetic code as humans has been around for thousands, if not millions of years. And due to evolution, we have the two parts on the brain, the amygdala, which reacts to fear-based scenarios and says, stop, don't go there. That's the brain, right?
Yeah.
And we have the prefrontal cortex, so that the higher, more cognitive function, imagination, the abstract thought, the part of the brain our listener, uses to set goals, to imagine a different future and therefore feeling the feelings that are going to motivate you to go there. Sometimes, let's say in the areas you and I coach, the client will come to you and they will say, I want to lose 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as a great coach that you are, you would dig deeper as to why the motivation behind 50 pounds, because it's not really about the 50 pounds.
It never is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. However, that's the physical reality,
yes,
the evidence that they have achieved their goal. Mm-hmm. But what's behind that is, what are they going to feel? What are they going to do with that new version of themselves? There is where the fight starts. The break is saying, that's new territory. That's scary. What does that even look like?
Mm-hmm.
So if I was 50 pounds less, what clothes am I going to wear? What places am I going to go? What people are going to be, you know, interacting with me? And what people are going to stop talking to me because I changed? And
right.
That happens mostly at the subconscious level,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the amygdala has this, and the fear-based emotions have a collection of stories of where friends have stopped talking to you once you did a little change, like maybe you bought a new car and someone took it personally, stopped talking to you, right? So that is accumulated and collected in the subconscious. And then on the other side, the accelerator is saying, your life is going to be awesome. You know it. You know it. And so the client doesn't know why, but they feel stuck, doesn't know why, and they self-sabotage at night. They did an awesome workout with you. They did fabulous all week. And then at night, maybe under the impression that they're treating themselves, it turns into full-out binge mode. And I'm talking about this because I've done it.
Yeah, I've done it too. I've done it too.
And so digging deeper into why is that happening, you know, let's start by acknowledging that inside of our own brains, our own minds, there's the two and they're fighting each other all the time. And just knowing that and being like, oh, okay, I can be a little at peace. I'm not going crazy. This is biological, evolutionary fact inside myself. And now I can understand why that's happening. And maybe choose, and you probably read this concept, who to feed. There is a resource, who to feed, the dog or the wolf, right? Where are you going to put your attention? To the wolf that it's willing to fight for its life to go forward, or the dog that feels comfortable in his or her little bed and just stays where they are? Because you know what? Maybe at the end, it is okay to have those extra 50 pounds. And you've been sold on the idea that it's not okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is where the why comes in place, right? Yeah. So to know that if it's okay for me to have that extra weight or if it's not, then you need to ask yourself, why do you want to lose the 50 pounds? And if your reason is yours and it's deep enough and it's attached to an emotion and a desire, how you want to feel, then that's okay. You should follow the wolf, you know, and really press on that pedal. But and if your reason is not actually yours, like you said, you've been sold this idea, then maybe, like you said, the right answer is to acknowledge the dog and then just kind of stay in your comfort zone. So
yes, and I'm not saying that the dog is bad. The dog,
no,
as a metaphor, has amazing qualities. It's faithful, it's intelligent, it has an incredible capacity for empathy, as where the wolf is colder, more like a sharp killer. So both have great qualities, and it's acknowledging the why.
Mm-hmm.
And why you want to be that way. Did the idea come from you? Or is it conflicting and keeping you stuck because it truly didn't come from you? And something inside of you knows that it didn't come from you. So that's why things are not changing. And it's like, once you see it, it's okay that they don't change. You don't, you stop wronging yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. I really hope you guys are taking notes because this is amazing. Speaking of changing, you know, and then setting some goals and reaching some goals, we've talked about growth, obviously, because as Tony Robbins says, happiness equals progress. And as human beings, we're meant to progress, we're meant to evolve, we're meant to grow, you know, on different aspects in our lives. So you talk about in your book, the growth in threes. So ready, willing, able. So what does that mean? And how can we use these three concepts in our life?
The inspiration for the title was me sitting and looking at a tree, just thinking of the life of a tree and how it grows. It grows always up, down, and sideways, because over time it will create volume right on its trunk, and it grows. It grows. It knows no other thing than to grow.
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a tree that stops growing?
Yeah. Nope.
Well, I have, but that is when it's boxed in. So in its natural environment, it will continue to feed and grow. And human beings, if we can know that we are in like a tree and we're meant to just continue grow, we will seek that growth and that nurturement. And now let's talk about ready, willing, and able, because they are three frame, meaning key concepts to understand, so that you and I know that I am ready to change, that you are ready to change. So being ready means saying yes to the change that it's being presented to you. If you were to think of an example, either for yourself as a coach or in one of your clients, what would you, how can you know you're ready? Okay, here's a good example. You as a coach, how do you know you're ready to accept a client?
A client that I'll be working with, that I'll be coaching?
Yes. How do you know as a coach you are ready to take them on as a client?
Mm-hmm. It's when I know that I can help them. So that's my first kind of criteria. If a lead or a prospect comes to me, we have a conversation and I know deep in my soul that I can actually help them. That's the first thing, like, okay, I'm ready to take that person on. There's obviously different other stuff that I go through, but if I don't feel like I can actually help this person, or I don't have the resources to help that client, I will send them to somebody else, right? So that's usually my main way of being ready.
Yes. And that has to do with able. When you as a coach are able to help a client, you know that it's because you have the time slot or the correct program or correct resource for them. Right?
Yeah.
So you're ready to take them. Yes, it's an intention. Able to take them because you have the perfect resources that they need and they're a good match. And willing to take them. So willingness to work with them. Like it's a good match both ways.
Right. Yeah.
And I go a lot deeper into what each of those means in my book and what are the qualifiers to have the three. So quite often, someone might say, especially the clients that you and I work with, I am ready to lose the weight, right? And then they go to a consultation and you show them the plan. You talk about costs. there might be the first time there is a discrepancy. Well, I'm not able to pay that cost, or I am not able to meet you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They are ready, but they are not able
right.
to go through that. And willingness, and the willingness is, are they willing to do everything in their power to reach their goal? Mm-hmm. Especially those moments when they get stuck or when something unplanned happens.
Yeah.
The unforeseen happens. Where is their willingness? Is it at 100%? Is it a priority no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or something else takes priority. Like, for example, for some people, some of my clients, family takes a priority. And so in having this discussion prior to starting a commitment between the two of us, I know that if something was to happen with their family, we both know that that is a moment to step outside training, mm-hmm. but we create a reconnection plan. So I, for example, I would say, take 2 weeks to be with your family. And at the 2 week mark, I will contact you because I know your family is a priority. Next priority is you. And if you're okay, you can take care of your family. So mm-hmm. I am here to step in and just remind you of that and check in on you. Yeah. So there's always like secondary clauses that you can create. Yeah. Once you know that there is, it's not a 10 out of 10 in willing, able, or ready,
mm-hmm.
but there's always a plan B, to put it that way. It's not like, oh, well, I'm not able, so screw it.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, I always say life happens. So all the good habits went down the drain because life happened, you know?
Right. And something I hear quite often is when I ask, some of my clients, for example, whether in fitness or in neuro-linguistic programming coaching or in animal flow, I ask them, how long have you had this problem for? And they give me a quite scary number of 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how fast life goes.
Mm-hmm. I love this. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are having a lot of aha moments right now, because I'm sure everybody can go back to a time where they thought they were willing, they thought they were ready to grow, but then something happened and then they fell off track and that goal just became not important to them. So maybe asking yourselves the question, was I actually able? Was I actually willing to do whatever it took? Could be a great way whenever we set ourselves any other goals, depending on if it's health or nutrition related or if it's in your business or your relationship. So mm-hmm. yeah, I love that that chapter of the book. I always talk about how the words that we use are very important. And obviously you agree because you're an NLP coach as well. And our inner dialogue is super powerful. Like you said as well, like the conflict between our conscious mind, subconscious mind, sometimes we don't even notice it. So there's two words or two expressions that you talk about in your book that I love chatting about because I think it's so powerful. You say to avoid, I know, and avoid but. And the I know is something that I've learned many years ago. So now I started to say, instead of like, oh, I know, I was like, no, I'm aware. Or I use like a different expression. But I do have a lot of clients, and maybe you do too, whenever I try to explain something like, oh, you're doing this. And they always go like, I know. Meaning like, I know in my conscious mind, even though I'm not doing it. So can you chat about why it's important to avoid being in the I know kind of state and the but?
Yes, absolutely. And I have to tell you that when I hear the I know, and the way they say it, the way my clients say it, the way they roll their eyes.
Yeah.
I joke instantly with them and I tell them, I'm not your mother. And they're like, they're quite surprised. And they ask me, what do you mean? I said, well, that's what I used to do to my mother. I would say, I know. And just roll my eyes so that I could avoid dealing with what she was saying or ignore her altogether.
So, yeah, so true.
I caught them off guard with that joke. You know, and I, again, it's based on personal experience. When I've heard myself use the word, I know, it's like I completely close my teachability cup,
mm-hmm.
which is another concept. And teachability cup or coachability cup is the willingness to accept advice and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I know, because I've been told like 50 times. And, you know, to know and not to do is not to know.
Yes, please repeat that.
To know and not to do is not to know.
That's so powerful.
I might need to repeat it a third time so my listener, it can really sink in. To know and not to do is not to know. And I'd like you to think about why that's true in your life. And I'm also going to tell you how I know that it's true in my life. If I say I know that I can be incredibly wealthy, so let's talk about $1 million in my bank account in a year. Mm-hmm. Well, and investments or wherever it serves a better purpose. But I do not have them in a year. Then I truly didn't know. Mm-hmm. Even though I know that that is a potential, a possible reality that I can create in my life, there is no physical evidence of it.
Right.
So when a client says, I know I need to drink 2 liters of water, but they didn't do it and it's 9 p.m., there is no physical evidence. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's no physical benefit either in their bodies, which is ultimately why you and my clients reach out to us for help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So instead of us taking the parent role and them taking the child role, you know, you can open up and I can open up an honest conversation and say, to know and not to do is truly not to know. So show mm-hmm. me that you know with your actions.
Yeah. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, that's where that phrase comes from, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because once you start doing, this will empower you in you knowing that you can actually do it, right? It all comes back full circle. And then that's where you get the confidence, like, oh, I can actually do this. And I know this now on a much deeper level. So there's no more conflict between what consciously I know I should be doing, right? Shooting all over ourselves. And then, like you said, there's a physical proof during your day, during your week, then you feel the physical benefits if we're talking about health and fitness. So like I said, it comes back full circle. So absolutely. I'm aware of it. Is there any other expression that you try to get your clients to say instead of I know?
Well, the joke works really good because the moment I help them be aware that we are role playing the mom or the dad and the kid role, first of all, they laugh about it. It's humorous.
Yeah.
Then we have a chat about physical evidence because you and I, girl, we live in a material world. So it's a physical reality. That's why we have bodies, right? Yeah. Even though we, you know, depending on belief system, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Yeah. Human means physical. Mm-hmm. So material world is evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evidence that you have changed your thoughts, that you have used your emotions with purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And what about but? But.
Yes.
Not B-U-T-T. I mean, yes, we got to do squats to have a nice butt, but we're talking about B-U-T, but.
Yes, exactly. So this one, I remember, and this happened with my spouse, with my husband. So we would get into a fight. And then some hours later, after 3 or 5 hours after not talking and just, and you talked about it, our inner dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. Like for those 5 hours, I was just inside my head, bouncing in and out of the same conversation, talking with him in my head and myself in my head, I should have said this and blah, blah, blah. And then he would come, for example, and he would give me an apology. And apologies are meant to heal a relationship or a trespass, a perceived trespass that happened, the reason for the fight.
Right.
And he would give me a nice apology and said something like, I am really sorry for yelling at you in the kitchen. And that was starting to feel nice, like, oh, okay. And then he'd said the word, but you're always there when I'm trying to cook. And then, you know, it was such a contrast. It was like going from a dark color, the dark color here behind my paint, the light color in my painting of like, oh, he's apologizing, to like, then you're doing all of this wrong. And that's why, blah, 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 blah. So that is where I first became aware of what the butt is doing, is erasing all the goodness that he was saying to me. And then came the attack.
Yes.
Then I started paying attention to how others use the word but in their everyday sentences. Our clients, mm-hmm. they would say, yes, I've been doing exercise, but I haven't lost the weight, or yeah. but I can't seem to get my nutrition on track. And I noticed that it was the moment the butt was used, it almost invalidated or erased the good that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. I do weekly check-ins with my clients, and I always start the first couple questions with some wins. What are the benefits that you felt this week? What are some things that you did that were awesome? So they're telling everything that they did right, that they did well. And then at some point, whenever there's another open questions, like, is there anything you want to add? Any questions for your coach? This is where they go, but I didn't do this. I didn't lose the weight. And I was like, you just told me 20 amazing things that you did in your week, but just by saying one or two things that were not perfect or optimal, or that you didn't really succeed, quote unquote, at during the week, you're focusing on that, on the negative, and it just kind of cancels out everything else you've done. That's amazing. So I started to get my clients to notice and be aware of that pattern, right? I was like, just reread your check-in, reread how you answer your questions. Mm. So yeah, I love that. It's such a great example.
Yeah, the moment they shift their attention to what comes after the but, which is the stuff they don't want in their lives, they're still giving their attention to that, mm-hmm. therefore perpetuating it somehow, even in conversation, right? Mm-hmm. So like you perfectly redirected, keep their attention on the wins, because yeah. that's what they want to perpetuate and expand in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I know that powerful people, the ones that other people admire, are at cost. They take full ownership for what they have created and they have in their lives,
mm-hmm.
including sometimes, well, not sometimes, I have to say powerful people even take ownership for accidents that seem that there was no way that they could have created that. But I have spoken to powerful people that say, yes, I created that. And they mm-hmm. can tap into the why.
Yeah.
What comes after the but is being at effect.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed that the more someone uses but in their language, they are less willing to take ownership for what is happening and what they have created in their lives. And it's easier, and I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just a coping mechanism to have mm-hmm. done it, and that's why I talk about it.
Yeah.
It's easier to put responsibility somewhere or to someone else rather than take it, because taking it, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. It yeah. is. It is.
Yeah. It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it will make you a more powerful person. It will make you a happier person when you take it. It's mm-hmm. a journey. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say the work is hard, but it's always worth it.
It's so worth it. Yes. Yeah.
For sure. So start noticing, guys, in your language, you know, and how you speak, how you write, if you're using the words I know and but a lot, and just get that awareness and see how you can change that. I think that'd be very powerful.
Yes. And it's going to be easier to hear it on others at first. So mm-hmm. if that is easier, pay attention to the people that are around you, how they use it. And then it's going to be easier for you to notice it when it comes out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
because we project ourselves onto others. So it is initially yeah. easier to see the fault in others as a practice to seeing the fault in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great advice. The next thing I want to dive into is our emotions. You say in your book that emotions are how your unconscious mind communicates with you. And I think that statement is so powerful, because often I'll have clients on the calls will just start crying, and then they apologize. They feel so bad. I'm like, no, feel all the feels, let the emotions out. This is your soul, and or like you say, your unconscious mind speaking to you. There's something there to listen, to journal about, to meditate on. So can you chat about that, emotions, and also why we're always so ashamed almost to have tears or feel emotions?
Oh, very powerful conversation. And that is the meat of my book, because mm-hmm. emotions are energy in motion.
Yes.
And Joe Dispenza was the first person I came across that talked about it. I love it because he's a scientist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? He's not a spiritual guru. He's not anything. He's a scientist. And again, we live in a material world that likes proof. And so I wanted to continue exploring how emotions are energy in motion. And so as an example to you, if you were to wake up tomorrow and feel absolutely no emotion at all, think like a robot, right? but a robot, like not a developed high level artificial intelligence, but just like a very efficient supercomputer and feel no emotions. What would get you to get out of it?
Like a to-do list.
Right. Computers are excellent at tasking. Mm-hmm. Right? So you would probably get through your checklist of writing programs for your clients. You would even maybe write programs for the whole world because you're a supercomputer. Done, right? Yeah. And then you would clean your whole house. Done. And you would maybe, you know, once that's all taken care of, do the finances. You could be crazy rich. You would travel the world. But what? Why would you do all those things other than it being a checklist?
Yeah.
Motivation, motive for action is mm-hmm. the emotion for us as humans. And we like to talk about emotions as either negative or yeah. positive emotions. They are all colors. What mm-hmm. if we started referring to them as colors in a painting? And the more contrast there is, the more discernment you have about how to choose to live your life. So if you have never experienced grief, how can you know you're feeling a bubble of joy burst in your heart? Mm. Right? Again, we have taught to define them in the spectrum of positive and negative. And this is where there's a lot of shame in feeling negative emotions. Mm-hmm. Because, and you know, we live in a very interesting time where for the past 2, 3, maybe even 5 years, there's been talk about emotional intelligence, and we've been given safe spaces to share our negative emotions. But once you open up about them, it's like opening Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Weird stuff. I'm not gonna say, ugly, dark and weird stuff comes out. And once you open the lid and you're talking about it, you don't know what to do with them because we were never taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In school, how to deal with our emotions.
Right. It's you know very well what to do with the positive ones. It's like you feel pumped about a workout. You go do an awesome workout. You feel happy and joyous and you want to share that with someone. You give your friend a phone call. You send them a nice meme on Instagram, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do with your sadness? Where do you put that? What do you do with your grief? What do you do with your envy?
Mm.
So, and again, this is the meat of the book. And what I want to bring to the awareness is that every single one of your emotions has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the negative ones, you can interview them and know that they have a purpose of letting you know that you're either incomplete with something from your past, or there is something in your present that's causing in a big contrast. I speak of a personal example where one of my good friends returned to school to study her master's, and she's someone I love. Why would I feel envy towards her? And then mm-hmm. I felt ashamed that I was feeling envy.
Mm-hmm.
When I interviewed, where is this envy coming from? And I kept writing in my journal, where is this envy coming from? Why am I feeling so envious? What does she have that I don't? I realized that it came from a close past where I had told myself I would go back to school and I never did it.
Mm.
So I said, oh, it's not her. It's not about her. It's yeah. about me betraying a personal promise. What yes. can I do about that promise now? Is my life changed enough that it's time to say thank you and goodbye and not wrong myself anymore? Or can I go back to school right now? What would that look like? Does that make me excited or does that make me feel troubled?
Right.
And then explore, right? If there's excitement, maybe that is a new possible future I can create for myself. If I feel troubled, why am I feeling trouble? Is it because of my age? Or is it because that I'm not truly meant to do that anymore? I just wasn't there the illusion I was.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's where the self-interview can get quite complex. And most often people don't know how to dig deep on that. And mm-hmm. the resources I am creating on my website are to assist you with those interviews to your yeah. demons. Your negative emotions. I'll teach you how to sit down and have coffee with them and enjoy a nice chat with yeah. your negative emotions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so important because I feel one of the reasons why we don't
questions our emotions, especially the quote-unquote negative ones, a lot of people are scared to find out what's going to come up. A lot of people live in a superficial kind of layer, like everything's good, I'm fine, all is well, and they will suppress any emotions. So just allowing space to journal and ask these questions, where does this envy come from? Where does this envy come from? A lot of people are actually scared to see what demon is going to come up. Am I going to have to make a big change in my life because I'll realize that, you know, my unconscious mind has been telling me this forever and I'm too scared to make the decision. So it can be, like you said, we're not taught this in school. So it can be challenging and stressful and scary for people to deep dive into our emotions. I was certainly that way until I was about 24 years old. I would never ask myself deeply how I was feeling, if I was really, truly happy. I was just checking the list, living a very high overachievement, busy life. I thought I had it all figured out until I went to Australia. And I was facing my emotions and myself, and I had to be vulnerable because I was alone on the other side of the world. And I was like, huh, there's a lot of questions and emotions that I never really asked myself. And it was scary. And a lot of tears and fears came up. But on the other side of that, like we said earlier, it's all worth it. But it's a process. So I think we have to be kind to ourselves, especially if we're not used to paying attention to these emotions and seeing them as colors, I think is powerful. You know, stepping away from the label that this is negative or I'm crying, I should be apologizing because I'm crying. No, like, what is this telling you though?
Yes, I want to say that what's happening in the world, because we are recording this in March of 2021, there's a lot of anxiety. And anxiety is emotion that is stuck inside people of other conglomerate of negative emotions. And if someone hasn't given themselves the opportunity to release pressure from the pressure cooker, the anxiety builds to a point of explosion. Mm-hmm. And that is why, you know, we've unfortunately heard of news of people that have passed in situations that could have been avoided. Like, why did someone have to fight over a mask? Why did someone have to go on full out road rage? Someone that was like you and I, just, you know, normal people, good people, mm-hmm. right? All that pressure builds up to a point where then our amygdala or other survival mechanisms and fear take over. And then the human loses control. The prefrontal cortex, the imagination, and then the good stuff in our future shuts down. And it's only fear-based. And it's like an animal, fight or flight or do something worse, right? And so I have to say that opening up the lid to talk about negative emotions, if you are not used to it, get support. So either someone, a friend or a family member that you trust, a psychologist, psychiatrist, NLP, your personal trainer, it has to be someone that you trust if you're not used to feeling it by yourself. Some of us, like you and I, we have developed personal strategies to exercise our demons. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what it feels like, Claudia.
It really does.
Full out exorcism when I am feeling some of the most dark of my negative emotions, but I know I will be okay because I have developed systems and strategies. And if I was to get really caught up in my head, I made myself a promise of who I would call, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You and I are not alone, and no one is alone in this journey. Mm-hmm. And one of our biggest problems is to think that we are the only ones and no one could ever understand what we're going through.
Yeah. Because it's quite the opposite. We're actually all connected and we're all one and we're all going through the same or, you know, very similar journey. So
Even I forget it.
Same.
Yeah. When you and I talk and I'm like, oh my God, Claudia understands me. She's the same as me. Like, and I,
she feels weird too. That's amazing. Yeah. All right. I could chat about this for hours. Let's wrap up with one final question or concept, which leads into giving everybody a bit of hope after talking about, you know, dealing with negative emotions. You talk about breaking down, right? This is a concept or an expression that we use. Oh, I had a breakdown last week. I binged like crazy because I was so emotional. I had a breakdown because X, Y, Z.
And you say that breaking down is a clean state or a clean slate for solid new foundation, which is usually a breakthrough.
Yes.
Right? So breakdown usually precedes a breakthrough. And sometimes we don't want to stay in the breakdown, or we, like we just talked about, have a lot of negative emotions surrounding, like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm a failure. I'm breaking down. There's no hope. So can you talk about why this should not be seen as the most horrible thing in our life? Because usually a breakthrough comes after, and this is where we have actual growth and actual awesome changes in our life.
Absolutely. So I love that concept. So you and my listener, for a moment, pay attention to your breathing. It's expansion and contraction. Expansion and contraction. In workouts, you do periodization. You don't just go straight up, load forever. No, you would load, deload. In the universe, it's in constant expansion, but there is, if you observe like the sea, if you observe the seasons, there is the expansion and contraction blueprint on it too. Why do you and I and so many others wrong themselves when there's a breakdown? Breakthrough follows. It's the breathing tempo, breakdown, breakthrough. And so I often think of just as a metaphor, how can you build a solid house or a solid skyscraper if you're trying to build it upon a house that is already falling apart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like fire comes, wipes it clean, or an earthquake destroys it, then the terrain gets cleaned out so something new can be built. Otherwise, you fall into the old pattern of perpetuating, if not as big as they were, but some of the ugly aspects of your life that you no longer want.
Mm-hmm.
So, next time you are in a breakdown, notice the type of questions you ask yourself. If everything was going happy, you wouldn't even consider other options, other people, other resources, new books, like my book, right?
Yeah.
Certain conversations, you would just continue living your life the way you have always lived, familiar territory. It is when you break down, when you step into unfamiliar territory, and some millionaires have built their wealth while they were in breakdown, while they were about to lose it because their old life was falling apart completely. They had to look at a new life. Otherwise, there wouldn't be life, right?
And
yeah, that's another unfortunate when someone does not acknowledge that, even though you sometimes it's about hitting rock bottom, sometimes it's about swimming in the dark for a while, but know that it doesn't stay like that. Change is a certainty. Yes, and life goes on. And you wouldn't know of the miracles that would have happened in the future if you were to bail out right now.
Yeah.
It's not up to you. It's not up to me. There is so much possibility in the future. And you just have to show up to live it.
Yeah, for sure. But I love that you said, like, asking yourselves questions, you know, and sometimes we don't ask ourselves the right question. Why is this happening to me? And like, why me? And why do I have to go through this? The answers to these questions are not going to help you break through. They're just going to leave you stuck and play a bit like the victim mode and just trying to avoid as much as possible being in that darker space. But when instead you ask better questions about, okay, what is this teaching me? You know, what are the lessons that I need to learn? Is there any opportunities or possibilities that I can now be open to now that I'm in this darker place? Then the answers to these questions are much more powerful than the other questions you were asking yourself. So,
oh yeah. And a question I love is, what is the learning here? Mm-hmm. What is the lesson that I can extract?
Yeah.
Where should I no longer put my attention? Some are those good questions to ask yourself during a breakdown.
Yeah. So write them down, guys. And we obviously don't wish anybody to have a breakdown today, but whenever the next time it happens, you know, remember to ask yourself these powerful questions. This has been amazing. I just want to go read your book again. So thank you so much for that. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you like to share with my audience or?
I think it is perfectly what we needed to cover. And I want to invite you, my listener, to read my book, Energy in Motion, How to Unleash Your Mind and Take Action Now. Yes. And discover what energy in motion means to you. Have your own journey and connect with me. Connect with me, because everybody has an opinion about why or what I should do with my book. But I have to tell you that my personal purpose is to connect with you. So mm-hmm. I am the one creating my website, energyinmotionbook.com. Mm-hmm. I am the one creating the resources. I am not doing like bulk sales or anything like that. So if I take a little bit longer to get back to you, it's because I am getting back to you, not a system, not a computer. So that is my purpose, to connect with you and to chat about the journey that you've had reading my book. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would love to know those breakthroughs, because certainly they're certainly gonna come as you read my book.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And speaking from a personal experience, you know, we've known each other for probably a couple different past lives, but in this current life, it hasn't been this long, and we connected very quickly. And, you know, you've helped me, you know, discover animal flow and everything. So when I did your classes, I was so grateful and impressed by the amount of passion and love that you put into your work. You know, everything that you were sending us after the classes, all the resources, and going deeper into our journey and asking ourselves questions. So definitely, guys, connect with Alex. You would love the journey you're going to be on in the book. I'll definitely put all the website, you know, the links and everything in the show notes. So don't be shy. She's super awesome and approachable. And I'm so grateful that I had you on the Conversation Awesome podcast today. And I finish every awesome conversation with a question, because I love quotes. So I want to know, what is one of your favorite quotes and why? Putting you on the spot there. The first one that comes to mind.
Okay. I know it in Spanish. Let me say it in Spanish.
And then yeah, say in Spanish for sure.
El alma es como un vaso que solo se llena con la eternidad. The soul is like a glass of water that mm-hmm. can only be filled with eternity.
Wow, that is powerful. I've never heard that one.
I believe the author is Amado Nervo and is a Mexican poet. If mm-hmm. I am not mistaken, I could be.
It's yeah.
Beautiful quotes. The
yeah,
soul
beautiful
is like a glass that can only be filled with eternity.
Mm-hmm. No better way to finish this conversation. Thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Claudia. And thank you, my listener. It was a pleasure.
J'espère que cette conversation awesome t'a inspiré. Et d'ailleurs, I would love to hear back from you. Rejoins Karmakin sur les réseaux sociaux and tag me in a post pour partager ce que tu retiens de cet épisode. Je serais vraiment grateful aussi si tu pouvais me laisser un rating and review pour le podcast. Ça me permet d'avoir un impact positif sur plus de gens comme toi. Merci beaucoup d'avoir été à l'écoute, and until next time, je te souhaite une journée awesome!